Kamala Harris seemed to have the momentum, but Donald Trump got the votes.
I think the Republican Party was very smart with the strategy of, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
What made so many segments of the American population choose Trump?
Well, I think Democrats have been for too long believing their own press. I mean, the economy is doing well. If you are in the stocks, if you are of higher income, but when you have to worry about whether you're going to be able to pay your bills, your mortgage, or whether you eat, or whether you have to work two jobs, then it's not working well.
Today is Thursday, November 7th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
For over 200 years, America has carried on the greatest experiment in self-government in the history of the world. And that's not hyperbole, that's a fact. We're the people. The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails.
U.S. President Joe Biden at the White House on Thursday, addressing the American people.
Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory. And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition.
As preparations for the transition to the Trump administration get underway, people are still trying to understand how Trump won so decisively.
When you look at some of the data about, like, you know, what kind of pushed Trump over the top, it was male voters and voters of color.
You know, and Lori, I think that when all is said and done, all the analysis is done and people have pored over the numbers, I think what she said is going to be the story of this election. Working class people, regardless of race, gender, background, voted for Donald Trump in numbers enough to give him the win.
According to an Associated Press survey, Trump held his core base of voters. They're very loyal, and then slightly expanded his coalition to include several groups that have traditionally been a part of the Democratic base.
There were an unprecedented number of Republicans who endorsed Kamala Harris. Among them, former Republican New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman, who also served as the head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency under Republican President George W. Bush. She joins us now to unpack why so many voters went for Trump.
Thank you, Governor Whitman. We appreciate your taking the time to speak with us. I know you were a Republican governor. You've worked for a Republican administration as the Environmental Protection Agency's administrator. I know you've been working very hard on the issues that you care about.
Mm-hmm.
I know you were supporting Vice President Harris. How are you just overall feeling about the way this turned out? And were you somewhat surprised at the results?
I think I'm as surprised as anyone at the magnitude of the win and the sweep that the Republicans have had. I try not to go into the dark place that I would go to if Donald Trump does everything he said he was going to do during the election cycle, because that's not a pretty picture for the rule of law or the Constitution or the environment or any of the things about which I care a lot. So I'm focusing on the fact that the Forward Party, the new party that Andrew Yang and a fellow called Michael Wilner all started, had for the first time out of the box, never having endorsed candidates in an election cycle before. We've had 125 we endorsed, and 25 of the won, including a U.S. Senate candidate, a state attorney general candidate, and all down the line, because we were really focusing on state and local. And so now I'm focusing all my efforts on building out the Forward Party efforts.
What do you think happened if you were going to do a postmortem on the election?
Well, I think Democrats had been for too long believing their own press. I mean, the economy is doing well. If you are in the stocks, if you are of higher income, but when you have to worry about whether you're going to be able to pay your bills, your mortgage, or whether you eat, or whether you have to work two jobs, then it's not working well. That doesn't play with the person who is struggling. And there are a lot of people who are struggling. And at least Donald Trump I mean, he lies and he doesn't really care about the little person, but he talked to them. He said to them, I hear you. He said, I'm going to make it better. And they were looking around, and the Democrats, unfortunately, were not responding to that. And the same thing, the seriousness of the immigration crisis. It took too long for Kamala Harris to actually say, we're going to get really, tougher. This is how I'm going to differ. And she was in a very difficult position, of course, because she didn't have much time to pull together a campaign. Joe Biden was not a popular president, even though I think he did some very good things. It was, again, the James Carville's famous line, it's the economy, stupid. And that's what was pulling everybody down. So she had to overcome that at the same time, because she was a part of it and respectful, and there were good things that were done. She couldn't divide herself from it too much. She couldn't distance herself too much. And so that put her in a tough bind. And it's really hard when you have someone who will literally say anything and promise anything and say how terrible the world is, that all the immigrants who are coming in are all rapists and drug dealers. I mean, just blatant, flat out lies. But you say it enough, and that's the essence of advertising. You keep saying it over and over again, and people will believe it, or people would want it. And so people believed it. And in the border states, they were being overwhelmed. Yes, the last month was the lowest border crossing, I think, in years. That may be an exaggeration, but certainly much lower than any year of Trump. So it's coming under control, but still it was, and it became an issue in the Northeast when you had governors from the Southwest who shipped illegal immigrants up to the bigger cities. And there wasn't a recognition that this poses a real problem. It's not that they're all going to commit crimes. It's that they take space and you don't have housing for them. They do not take jobs from. It's interesting. I think that one of the things we take away from the Hispanic community is they were convinced that the illegals coming in, the Spanish language immigrants coming in, were going to take their jobs. That wasn't the case. Most of them that came in and were able to find jobs were taking jobs that no American wanted. And they were probably undermining the financial structure in the area because they worked for less than many, not in every case, but in some cases. I mean, they just never acknowledged all those subtleties of these big issues and didn't, and the Democrats I'm talking about. And when you have someone who's going to inflate them all, make them seem much worse than they are, you listen to him because he's echoing what you think, and then he's validating, unfortunately, ways of acting out on that.
You know, you see these massive lines to get into Kamala Harris rallies and all these huge celebrities and all this manpower. And, then you'd see the Trump rallies and they would be like half empty. And so it sort of gave an illusion that she had the momentum, and it just, the women and all these other issues that seemed to be so important to people. And it seemed almost shocking.
It was the economy and somebody who was talking to them. And I hate to say it, but I think also racism and misogyny played into it. There were a lot of people who just could not see a woman, particularly a black woman, in the presidency. And that's shame on all of us, or shame on all those who felt that way. But it was that definitely played a role. At the end of the day, when they went into the polling place, that played a role. And then people were dismissing because, we've done it for so long with Donald Trump. Oh, there goes Donald Trump again. Oh, he doesn't mean what he's saying. I don't know why people don't take him seriously, because I think he has every intention of doing a lot of what he heard. At least, let me put it this way. He doesn't care about details. Donald Trump is not a detail person, but J.D. Vance is. And the people he brings in, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance bring into the administration, are people who are going to be focused on upending the rule of law and upending respect for the Constitution. I mean, if Donald Trump wants, one of the things he will do, I believe, as soon as he gets in, he will pardon all the January 6th rioters in the olden days, what they did was treason and they would have been hung. He's going to pardon them. And that's going to basically say the rule of law doesn't matter. And that's a terrible place to take our country. And it's going to be scary. All those people who think, well, they shouldn't really be given these sentences and it wasn't fair. Guess what? When the rule of law breaks down, it can happen in your community too, and you're not going to like it.
if you look at the data, you see this, he peeled off not just working class whites, but working class Latinos, right, working class Black, working class women. Is there a realignment happening? Because if you, you know, if you, did you see the comments from Bernie Sanders, who said he was not surprised by the outcome of the election because the Democratic Party is not talking to the working class anymore?
Well, that's true. They're not. They missed that entirely. I'm not sure the Bernie Sanders solutions are going to be the ones, but you know, the Democratic Party has to find out what it is and who it is. And I think a lot of the people who voted, who had been Democrats, who voted Republican, they felt that just as a lot of the Republicans who voted for Kamala felt the Republican Party had left them, there are a lot of Democrats who think the Democratic Party is moving too far to the left. And, you know, Kamala ran very much to the left 4 years ago. And she has changed. And that's okay if someone will stand up and say, look, I've learned things. And when I learn things, I'm willing to change if I think I should. You know, what do you do when you find out new facts that are contrary to what you knew before? If she'd said something like that, I think people would have become more comfortable, because she was running very much from the center in this election, mm-hmm, in an upbeat election. But I think people just didn't trust, and they were able to put up, the Trump people were able to put up those ads at the very end, mm-hmm, talking about how she, you know, was way out in left field. And that scared a lot of people.
It's interesting, though, because the coalition that she had, you know, we're talking Dick Cheney and Bernie Sanders, Liz Cheney, and all these unprecedented number of Republicans, which mm-hmm was sort of stunning, and that were crossing over, including, you know, his former, many in his former team, including, you know, the military leaders.
Danger, right?
Right. And so you would think
that one person. Yeah. I mean, but I talked to a person at church who said, came up to me a week ago and said, well, are you still an anti-Trumper? And I said, yes, more than ever. And so he sort of prompted and said, and I said, well, what about when you have the people closest to him? What about when you have Kelly, Mattis? And his response, well, they're entitled to their opinion. And I wanted to say, but they've worked with him. They know him. But it wasn't going to change anything. Once that mind was made up, it didn't matter if you'd been the closest to the president you could be and you were saying this man is unfit for office. That was just your opinion.
There was an interesting analysis in the New York Times today that he was able to take his grievances and tap and make them the people that voted their grievances, because they have grievances. And he
absolutely
was, again, the second time he did it in 16, was able to tap into that.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, because he spoke to it, and the Democrats were not speaking to it, not saying, I know you have a problem. I know things are bad at the grocery store, but we're doing everything we can to bring it down. This is how we are going to do it. Spend a little more time on how expensive tariffs are going to be. If he puts all these tariffs in, those are just sales taxes. But they just kind of threw those out at the end. And that's not, that's sort of beyond what the average, you'd have to say a tariff on Chinese goods would cost you X amount more for your next whatever piece of equipment it was, or whatever, what's the most common product that you buy. That, I mean, China makes everything that we buy, as some China seems to me, has China in it somewhere. But you had to make it relevant. And they never took it down to the average person. And that's what they lost. And then you had people at the upper end of the income scale who only cared about tax cuts and getting less regulation so they could do whatever they wanted. And when they were building their businesses, the heck with the environment, health, you know, human health, and that kind of thing. And he also was saying, you know, never mind the stuff about climate change, even though people were seeing it, they were being impacted by it. It was costing lives, homes, jobs, billions of dollars to come back from. No, don't worry about it. And the average person, again, it's one of those issues. They say, well, what do I do about it? I'm just me, mm-hmm, little me. And it's going to just cost me more if we have all these, you know, electric vehicles. Of course, What wasn't said on either side was how many jobs are being made because we are going more toward trying to reduce our carbon footprint. And there are thousands of jobs that are being developed in the field of whether it's electric cars or windmills, that all the components we're making, all of those, it's they're real jobs, and they're happening, and now they may just go away.
But at the end of the day, it's still the GDP argument over the price of butter.
Right, exactly. And that just doesn't work, especially since the drumbeat's been going on for 4 years. I mean, yeah. Donald Trump has been saying the same thing over and over again, expanding it. He's willing to, as we know, he'll say anything about anything, and he's willing to do that. And if people don't like what he's saying, if it makes them uncomfortable, their response is, oh, that's just Donald being Donald. And if they do like what he's saying, then he's right. No, they are taking our jobs. And I do have to work two jobs now to stay in the same place. And the outlook for the people's outlook for the United States is not in a healthy place. I think about, what was it, 80% said they thought we were going in the wrong direction? That's pretty hard to overcome.
What are folks like you planning, Republicans that feel like their party is not the way it used to be and it's changed?
There is no Republican Party. There is a Trump cult, and he owns it. It's whatever anybody who has an R but says they're a Republican, they're Trump. And so that's why I am going to do everything I can to continue to build the Forward Party. We're starting at the local, state, and local level, because that's how you build your team for the future, and that's where the decisions that most immediately affect everyone are made. And it's important to have states attorneys general, for instance, who will uphold the rule of law, secretaries of state who will push back against inordinate pressure to overturn elections. You need local commissioners who oversee the process, who are people who have sworn to uphold the rule of law and respect the Constitution, pledged to do it, which is what you have to do to be endorsed by the Forward Party. And the fact that we had a 25% return on the candidates that we did endorse in this cycle tells me that there's a real hunger out there still for another choice, that a lot of people may have voted for Trump and they were unhappily. And there are people who voted for Harris unhappily. They didn't like either of their choices. It'll be interesting to see what percentage, in spite of all these numbers that we were being given about early registration and early voting, what the actual turnout number percentage was. There were people that stayed home. Even in this most consequential of elections, people stayed home.
How can people find out more about the Forward Party?
Forwardparty.com. If you just go to forwardparty.com, and as I was saying to people, the beauty of the Forward Party is we don't have a platform that says you're pro-choice or anti-choice. You sign a pledge. It says you'll uphold the rule of law, respect the Constitution, work with anyone to solve problems, create a safe space to discuss controversial issues, and work constantly to open the process so that anyone who is legally entitled to vote gets to vote. And beyond that, it should be up to the candidates and to the state parties to say, well, what do I believe in? What's important to me? Rather than have a party in Washington saying, these are the issues you have to take up. So it makes it totally different, and it gives you candidates who are very responsive to their electorate, because that's what they've said they're going to do. They can still, where we're not a party, recognized party in the state, we've supported Republicans and Democrats and independents. But what they've said is, for those who remain with a party label, a main party label, they've said, look, I'll still caucus with you, but if I see an issue where my people and I want to go a different direction, I'm going to do it. And right now you can't do it. But you can with a Forward endorsement, because we'll have the backup for you. We'll help you. We'll push back against how they'll try to punish you. We'll get volunteers for you. We'll help you raise money, all that kind of thing. So it's forwardparty.com.
Governor, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. And
good to talk to you. Well, they're worth as much as you pay for them.
Thank you. All right. You too.
Former Republican New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman, who also served as head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency under Republican President George W. Bush.
And, you know, Scott, I think, you know, she may be onto something there as far as her forward party. I think a lot of people have been frustrated that there really isn't a home for them. Some of the Republicans feel like maybe this Republican Party is, as she said, no longer what she was a part of for so many years. And maybe a lot of Democrats also just feel disenfranchised. This sounds like it, you know, it may be something that's needed in American politics.
Well, it's a new concept. It is virtually impossible to start a third party the way things are in the United States. But if you look back over the history of the country, there are parties that no longer exist, replaced by the modern Democratic and Republican parties. We'll see. This has been The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thanks so much for joining us.
Follow The Issue on X and on Facebook at VOA The Issue. And to get news 24/7, go to our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.